We don't know anything about this formerly blind and mute man.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
What we do know is what Jesus did for him. And what Jesus did for that man, he is doing now for you.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Two headlines, one from the Religion News Service, the other from the Associated Press. Under the heading of Faith and Politics, Neo-Protestant Challenge Seen in France's Political Upheaval. What is a neo-Protestant? And then from the Associated Press, this out of Germany, German right-wing party on course to enter parliament. It's a nationalist. Well, it's conservative and a mixture of nationalists there in Germany. They got enough votes to enter the Bundestag and participate there. Some of the problems, though, have to do with their view on immigration, especially Islamic immigration. Joining us to talk about both of these headlines and give us a religion and politics update for France and Germany, Dr. Uwe Simonetto, a native of Germany, former religion editor for United Press International, founder and emeritus director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life and the League of Faithful Masks, and he's author of the book, The Fabricated Luther. He joins us from France. Uwe, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
The headline from the Religion News Service reads, Neo-Protestant Challenge Seen in France's Political Upheaval. I wonder, what's a neo-Protestant?
Well, a neo-Protestant, I mean, the way he interprets it is, to all intents and purposes, an evangelical hailing from Africa or China or elsewhere. They're evangelical, they're sort of Calvinistic Protestants, and there are a lot of those, that is true, I've read this article, but this has been going on for quite some time with a massive immigration of Africans and Asians to France, and in fact, Haitians, believe it or not. There are a lot of Protestant Haitians. I met a Haitian Protestant congregation in Paris that is extremely active. So these are the people, but that said, it's a pretty narrow definition.
What kind of effect are these so-called neo-Protestants having on France's politics?
Well, we don't know this yet. May I just veer away for a little bit to give you some background information, the way I see this and the way I've written about it, actually since my UPI days, and then we'll get to the effect it has on France. There is indeed a new Protestant spirit here in France. Protestants, and this doesn't apply to neo-Protestants alone, it applies to others as well, especially to Lutherans, by the way, are very highly regarded here in France. France has been sort of called the most agnostic nation in Europe. I've never quite trusted that because there are many, many ways you can look at this. But I'll give you one example. Next month, the French edition of what in America is called The Fabricated Luther, it's a translation from my new German edition, is coming out. And the publisher of the French edition is actually so fascinated. He calls himself, like this guy, Régis Debray, whom you will soon be mentioning, who is, of course, the center of that story that you're referring to. He calls himself a Catholic atheist or Catholic agnostic. But when he read my latest German version of Fabricated Luther, first came out in Germany anyway, this book, he was so fascinated by Lutheran theology that he personally, can you imagine, the head of a publishing house personally sat down and translated it because he said there it gives so many answers that his Catholic education never gave him, which is fascinating. There is much more going on. You go Protestantism in France used to be a very left-wing Calvinistic sort of thing, except, of course, you had the Alsatian and some Lutherans. It was a very Calvinistic and very left-wing. One of the most famous Catholic Protestant theologians thought that Cambodia, and this is after Pol Pot, was sort of a new version of paradise. I mean, it was really totally idiotic. This is gone. It's out the window. You go into a Protestant church now, and first of all, it's become more and more. They become more and more Bible-centered. Even the formerly liberal Protestant churches, Reformed Protestant churches, and secondly, they become more and more Lutheran because of something we can discuss if you have some time later on. But because of two major Protestant theologians who, by studying Luther, studying theology in Strasbourg, became de facto Lutherans, and they have an enormous influence on the population. You will never hear here in France, even by agnostics or by people far removed from the church, any negative remarks about Protestants. I mean, for example, people introduce me here in French society, and they will say, well, he's a Lutheran, he's a Lutheran. You never hear a sort of mocking remark. They immediately ask you, what is this? This country, which is supposed to be so distant from Christianity, has a Bible boom, enormous sales of Bibles here, and Bible commentaries. There are sometimes long, long waiting lists to attend catechesis in Protestant or Catholic congregations. All this goes unnoticed. I'm glad Religion News Service picked this one up, but this is the background that you have to know, because I think that's a good layer for discussion.
So to the effect that this neo-Protestantism is having on France's politics, how would you describe that?
Well, he mentioned this guy here, Hennigan, he mentioned Max Weber and the influence that that Protestantism had on American forms of capitalism. This is very much noticeable here in this country. There is a form of conservatism or free market conservatism in that sort of sense, market liberalism, not political liberalism, market liberalism, that can be traced to a Protestant influence, a Protestant way of thinking, which, by the way, had always existed underground here. I mean, most of the bosses of major corporations in France had always been Protestants. The banks were in Protestant hands in this country. I mean, this is not new. This has been going on since the Reformation, in fact, that Protestants had an influence disproportionate to their numbers, 2% Protestants or something like that amongst the French Christians. But the influence is enormous, you see. And this is why also the French Reformed Church and the Lutheran Church doing better financially, because they've always had their pastors and their parsons just paid for by very, very rich people who were Protestants. And so you have that, and there is this, we have to wait how this month develops, next month, because obviously the left-wing trade unions, especially the communist trade unions called CGT, are stirring against the new capitalistic or pro-capitalistic, pro-business government of this new president, Macron, whose thinking, in Max Weber's sense of the term, the word might be called Protestant, even though he's not a cradle Protestant.
Just as a little filling in the gaps here in context, Do we know what is drawing these so-called neo-Protestants from places, as you mentioned, like Africa and China and elsewhere? What is drawing them to France?
Well, it is obviously what is drawing them to Europe. It's not just to France. It is obviously a better life here. If you come from a former French colony, then, of course, you have... it's easier to get a visa. Many of them have been French citizens for a very long time, even when they lived in those colonies in France or in Indochina and in China and elsewhere. So it's part of this huge new movement of peoples coming here. So you have those. Then you have a very beneficial thing that is a conversion movement that these people, the Protestants and Catholics, but mainly Protestants, coming from the developing countries, then convert Arab Muslims and others. And I mean, there's a lot of that stuff going on. It's very, you have to be, it's very difficult to get into this thing because it is very, very dangerous for a Muslim to convert. But I have made it a habit, having lived here in France for such a long time and speaking French well, I very often take a French taxi for a taxi in Paris with dark-skinned drivers, especially women drivers, and they will give you, if they trust you, and if you tell them you just drive around Paris here and not go to the suburbs, which is very dangerous for them, then they will tell you amazing stuff. Many of them are converts, or actually they pose as being Muslims so as not to be persecuted or not having their parents or their family persecuted by other Arabs, other Muslims, but they are de facto Christians. That's been going on for an extremely long time. You know, you have an enormous influx of especially of Africans here, and the Africans are very pleasant to have around here. They're especially if they're Christians. I mean, they're hardworking. They're well regarded, especially the Christian ones, especially the active Christian ones, hardworking. So that's no problem. The problem are the Muslims, not the others.
Dr. Uwe Simonetta is our guest. We're talking about religion and politics in France and Germany. When we come back, we'll talk about France's policy of assimilation for immigrants.
Is America going the way of the Roman Empire? A growing number of Christians think so, and I'm one of them.
Rod Dreher talking about his presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's why I say that Christians today should take a new look at the way the early Benedictine monks, who emerged out of the ruins of Rome, responded to the collapse of their civilization. We can learn from them how to build stable lives of prayer, Bible study, and worship in strong communities. The Benedict option, as I call it, is not about running away from the world. It's about learning the practices of discipleship that enable us to stand firm for Christ against the world for the sake of the world.
You can meet and hear Rod Dreher making the case for the Benedict option at the Fall Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. Child care is free. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
What do you believe? What do you say about what you believe? And why exactly does it matter? Learn more about the what and why of the Christian creeds and Lutheran confessions this month in the Lutheran Witness. Get 6 issues of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's premier magazine for only $6.99 when you visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/trylutheranwitness.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Is being a member of a church just about tithing and having your name on the roster? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Connected to Christ costs $5.99 plus shipping and handling. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Connected to Christ, 1-800-325-3040. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking religion and politics in France and Germany with Dr. Uwe Simonetto. Dr. Simonetto, I know we've talked about this before, and I've also discussed it with other guests with regard to France's situation and immigration. Doesn't France have a rather strict policy of assimilation for immigrants?
The former president Sarkozy, that was the predecessor of Hollande, when he was interior minister, has tried to pursue a policy or develop a policy of integration. It isn't working. It's not working here. It's working much better in Germany for different reasons, but it's not working here because the Muslims or these ghettos are so entrenched that they live in areas, it's a different culture. It only becomes interesting, they only assimilate usually if they either become just very secular, which is most often the case, or if they become Christians. If they become secular, it's a different lot, and then even then you might find it then very difficult to integrate with other secularist French people. If they are Christians, it's a totally different matter. Then obviously they are open to the French society, which they deem to be at least a Christian society in its origins, even though it might now be secularist. The French government to integrate them. It doesn't work. But that is something to do also with the North African, and principally Nigerian influence there. And it goes back to Algerian, the Algerian war and the hatred and animosity that I knew, I encountered when I was a student here in 1955-56. Incredible fires. I mean, they attacked us and then came into our jazz clubs to beat us up and steal our girlfriend. And we really had fierce fights. And there is this intense tension, which is not just religious, but it's also ethnic. And it is also based on the colonial past of France. So it's a very complex thing we're discussing here.
Let's talk a bit about Germany. The headline that comes from the Associated Press is German right-wing party on course to enter parliament. The term right-wing means something here in America. What does it mean in Germany?
Well, it means about the same thing as in America. The party they are referring to here is the AfD. that, but that is a hodgepodge party. German right wing, if you think of right wing Angela Merkel, whom I now just the other day voted for by mail for the fourth time, would not be considered right wing. She's a centrist, a Christian Democrat. These people are right of center. They can be conservatives, and many of them are, and there is a need for a conservative party. I don't think the Christian Democratic Party accommodates genuine conservative views all that well anymore. Used to much better, which is not, but I would still not vote for the AfD, for this Alliance for Germany. So, but you do have bona fide conservatives in this party. You also have some very nasty right-wing elements getting pretty close to Nazi apologists. I wouldn't call them Nazis, but apologists for National Socialism. Some of them are. I wouldn't say the majority. I still think it is healthy for Germany to have a right-wing party, because if you suppress them, then, of course, they emerge right-wing, because every society has its right-wingers, then they emerge elsewhere in a much more unpleasant way. If they come to join parliament, if they become members of the Bundestag, and they will, then they will have to subject themselves to parliamentary discipline, as do the far-left party deputies. So, I mean, that in that sense, it's true. But it is the right, what they say in the Associated Press, yes, they say it's a right-wing party. It ranges really from bona fide, solid conservatism to right-wing freaks.
What does it mean that the AfD is going to, perhaps for the first time, be able to participate in the Bundestag?
Well, they will muster enough votes to get at least 5% of the total vote, which is the minimum you have in order to send people to the Bundestag, send deputies to the Bundestag. All previous right-of-center parties or right-wing parties have not managed to do so. It means, in this particular sense, that there is a certain frustration in Germany with Angela Merkel's policies. That people come out of the closet and saying being conservatives or right wingers. The problem with the AfD is they have so many internal struggles and so much internal strife. That you don't really know what they stand for. You know what certain people in the party stand for. People that this AP article mentions, but we don't know what. That has to be observed. Nobody will want to form a coalition with them. Not as long as they are genuine hard right crypto fascists. If they become bona fide conservatives, that's another matter. Then we don't. Right wing also means nationalism, but nationalism in a sense of being anti-European. Although they have members in the European Parliament, but to what extent are they anti-European? Most Germans are genuinely pro-European, pro-European Union. You don't have this madness that you had in France until the current president Macron came in, or as in England. I mean, basically, the European Union is understood and welcomed by the Germans, even though most Germans, including this German, are very frustrated over bureaucratic nonsense that the European Union creates. But basically, the idea of having a European Union and unified Europe appeals to most Germans.
Can you kind of give us a sort out the alphabet soup of German major political parties that are represented there in the Bundestag? How would you describe them in their positions?
The current Bundestag or the next? Well, the current Bundestag, you have the Christian Democrats and the Christian Social Union. Christian Social Union is the Bavarian branch of the Christian Democrats. It's, they are in a union with the Christian Democrats, but they have their own policies, and they're generally more conservative than the Christian Democrats. The Christian Democrats were formed, of course, under Konrad Adenauer as a union between the Catholic Center Party, pre-war Catholic Center Party, and bona fide Protestants. So then to the right or left, depending which way you look, them used to be and will soon be again the Liberal Party as the Free Democratic Party. The Free Democrats are not liberal in the American sense of the word. They're more Manchester liberal. They're pro-business liberals. Then to the left of those, you have either you say the Social Democrats, who make up now approximately, who are partners of the Christian Democrats in the current government. They might be might get something like 22-23% of the vote. Christian Democrats have up to 40% of the votes. And then you have to the left or to the right of them, and that's in flux. You have the Greens. That's an ecologist party, and they have two wings. One is very hard left wing, and the other one is more liberal in the Free Democratic Party sense of the word. And they are actually in some states, or in one state in Hesse, they are in a coalition with the Christian Democrats, and they might possibly form a coalition with the Christian Democrats. And then to the left of those, you have the party called Die Linke, or the Party of the Left, and these are the heirs to the former East German Communist Party, but who have merged with left-wing social democrats to form their own party. They each have about, the Linke is currently, I think, the larger one. They have about 10% of the vote, mainly in East Germany, not exclusively in East Germany, in Eastern Germany, in East German states, six states altogether. And they're mainly that. They have two wings. One is hard Marxist Leninist, although by now for free enterprise, unlike former Marxist Leninist parties, decidedly for free enterprise. But they are like this right wing party, and that's very dangerous. They have many things in common with this right wing party. One is, of course, that they have very close ties to Moscow, and as do the Alliance for Germany. So that is about the play, and that is, and also, of course, they are anti-NATO the German military commitment in places like Afghanistan or in Africa, many places in Africa now, increasing, and in Iraq. So that is about the spectrum. Right now, the Christian Democrats and the Social Democrats have a safe majority, and it looks as if it will be the same again next after September 24th.
Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest. We're talking about religion and politics in France and Germany. On the other side of the break, which of the parties he mentioned is the most conservative on abortion and natural marriage, and how much influence does it have?
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries, right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism, and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the 2nd edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest. We're talking religion and politics in France and Germany. Uwe, before the break, you had kind of run through the major political parties in Germany. Which of the parties that you mentioned there before the break are the most conservative on abortion and natural marriage, and how much influence do they have?
Well, the conservative Christian branch of the Christian Democrats would be that, and of course the AfD too. But the parts of the AfD, the Nazi Germany. But I would say on these issues on abortion, same-sex marriage. The Bavarian wing of the Christian Democrats, and including Chancellor Merkel. I mean, we discussed it the other day. She herself, when it came to vote for same-sex marriage, she voted against it. And she said so in the television debate with the main opponent, Martin Schulz, who is the Social Democrat candidate for Chancellery.
Two final questions. You had mentioned the nationalism that kind of typifies this party that is going to be qualifying to participate in the Bundestag. And that nationalism expresses itself often with respect to something we discussed earlier on France, and that is immigration. How would you describe the average German's thoughts about the influx of immigrants into their country?
Well, the average German, I think the majority of the German, well, I know that from the polls, the Germans, they were uneasy about it, but they're more relaxed about it. But because if you think of the huge number that came in, 1 million, and that's still, of course, it's dwindled down somewhat, but there's still big numbers coming. The integration was actually relatively relatively smoothly. And the attacks that you had were, first of all, small in numbers, and then who were these people? They weren't Syrians. They were North Africans, usually coming in from across the border in France. We have free travel in Europe. When you cross from Germany to France or Belgium or Holland, you don't see a border post. You just sail right through. So the most Germans are quite relaxed to it. You have, of course, this enormously powerful volunteerism and volunteering. 10% of the German population are involved somehow in trying to integrate these immigrants, which is quite substantial. And then there is another issue. It really depends on, the Germans observe very, very carefully how these immigrants are behaving. And you will find, for example, that many of the Afghans and Syrians cooperate very, very well with the police in pointing out the extremists among them and the terrorists. All these things are noted. And thank God so far we have not any terrorism proportionate to the number of immigrants we have in Germany and compared with France. You know, is it good luck? Is it God's blessing? Is it that we have a better type of immigrant? You can only guess. But we haven't had that. So Germany is doing exceedingly well. It is a very happy society under Merkel. You know, we in Mutti, we trust. My friend Joseph Joffe of Die Zeit, the publisher of Die Zeit, wrote in the Wall Street Journal, Mutti being mummy, and mummy we trust. Angela Merkel is mummy because the economy is doing well. Unemployment rate is extremely low, and there is no sign of the economy slowing down or social unrest stirring up anywhere. So in that sense, we're doing very well. What happens when you suddenly have a major attack? What happens when the Russians play silly? That is another matter altogether. I mean, are we too smug and too self-satisfied? I fear sometimes we are, but that's at the moment the point. Therefore, to your question, therefore the immigration issue is no longer will no longer determine the election outcome, other than that a large number of people will vote for the AfD.
Do you think that confessional Lutheranism, given the landscape of both France and Germany, has opportunities in those countries?
Yes. Yes, it has. I mean, I actually believe Lutheran doctrine is the Christian doctrine of the future, because it makes sense. And when you discuss this here, and I'm more familiar with what's going on in France, because that's where I spent most of my time in Europe, in Germany a few weeks, and of course I telephone with Germany all the time. But you talk Lutheran doctrine with people, and it resonates with them. And in Germany, it would resonate with people if only the Protestant, the official Protestant churches, the state-related Protestant churches, including Lutheran churches, were to teach it. But they don't. I mean, most young pastors have never heard of the Two Kingdom Doctrine, and that's in Lutheran regional churches. They don't understand it. I believe that ultimately, you see, Germany is so rapidly changing at the moment. It is becoming a much more wholesome country in many ways, because it is families are growing again, birth rates are going up, family values resonate with you with the Germans, and all these things. And then, of course, the ultimate question will also be asked. And unfortunately, I mean, this year, the quincentenary of the Reformation, which bummed in Germany because the liberal theologians of the state-related Lutheran churches and Protestant churches blew it all. I mean, they just always pointed out how bad Luther was and how sexist it was, and then, of course, anti-Semitic as well, and all this and all that. And, of course, the Germans don't believe that. Wait another generation or so, and things will come around. It's not over yet. I mean, that is one thing, by the way, which always irks me when I talk to American politicians or the American conservative journalists who sort of think that Europe is altogether lost. Now it's not lost. There have been periods in German history and in French history which have been much more agnostic than now. If you just think of what Germany was like, the countryside around Wittenberg and further out, the whole of northern Germany, in Luther's days, there wasn't hardly any Christianity left. They were neo-pagans. And then you had this brilliant period of the Lutheran Orthodoxy following that period. I put far more trust in God, and also in my own country, that in the end, not in the end, but within a few decades or a few generations, it will balance it off. You will have to struggle against Islam, but Islam is so thoroughly unattractive that it points, actually, it should point any thinking people towards Christianity, and it does sometimes. But then the Lutherans, those who call themselves Lutherans, except for our small sister church in Germany, which is doing a very good job, but the state church Lutherans are simply betraying Luther. And, of course, they're betraying Christ because they're hardly preaching the gospel anymore. They're preaching politics. And people get bored. People don't want... Germany is a country where even the left-wing liberal press urges the churches, and both Protestant and Catholic, to proclaim the gospel. You find this in Der Spiegel, you find this in Stern magazine, you find it in all of which are liberal magazines, you find it on television. People are sick and tired of this Protestant liberalism, which doesn't amount to anything, doesn't give them any comfort. They want to know that. And that, unfortunately, the American press never pick up because they don't read German newspapers, they don't read the press, they don't do any research, they don't do any background check. Nobody, I've never seen an American newspaper, say the Wall Street Journal or so, a feature story about an integration session in some small town or a major city in Germany, with volunteers teaching these Arab kids the language so that they can progress and proceed, with master carpenters and master welders and teaching their skills for free. It's never, their story is never told, but it has to be told. I mean, if these, my ancestors came from Italy, from Venice, and from France, and I'm as German as a Knackwurst. And you might find the same thing in about 2-3 generations' time.
Dr. Uwe Simonetto is a native of Germany, a former religion editor for United Press International, founder and emeritus director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life and the League of Faithful Masks. He's author of the book, The Fabricated Luther, and he joined us from France. Uwe, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much, Todd.
Folks, whether you enjoyed our part 6 of our series on Christian parenting, raising Christian children in an age of secular progressivism with Pastor Jonathan Fisk earlier today, or our discussion of Christians engaging the world with Dr. Joel Bierman, or politics in France in politics and religion in France and Germany with Dr. Uwe Simonetto, you're in for more and for more of the same of the kind of range of topics that you love. On Issues Etc. at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November the 10th, and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Topics there at the conference include religious liberty, Christians engaging the news media, the Benedict Option, Christian marriage, and the sexual revolution, and the 4U of the Reformation. Registration is $120, includes 3 meals. Child care is free thanks to the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education. You can register at issuesetc.org or call us 618-223-8385 and register for the Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. Tomorrow, we'll look forward to the feasts and festivals of Holy Cross Day. Pastor David Peterson will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The Law Assumed Sermon, the Gospel Afterthought Sermon, the God Loves You Anyway Sermon. I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Matt Richard details his journey from folk Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.